homes today already, so she got you as well. I tell you, you know, it's like she needs a yard on her own, basically, you know. We have to put a ring around her and just sort of say, you know, don't go out of that circle, you know, and then we know we're all safe. Hallelujah. Praise God. She gets so excited. Oh, she has. She has. Hallelujah. She didn't have fire in her belly when I married her. But you know, when you get hold of Jesus and Jesus gets hold of you, then you get fire in your belly. And there's nothing can put it out. No, we can't shut her up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got to go home with her, so I better be careful. Praise God. God is so good to us. You know, I was sort of wondering and just asking the Lord what He wanted to share with us today. And pondering on a few things. And the title came after I'd spent some time in the Word. I didn't start with a title. The title came sort of later. I was listening when I was in my car this week. I was listening to the Word of God on CD and I was just playing it along. And I got into the book of Samuel. And a verse of Scripture actually stood out to me during that time as I was listening and driving along the road. And this is where the title came from. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Because, believe it or not, as I was listening to the Word of God being read to me, I suddenly heard something that, well, for me, it had never registered with the fanatic in the attic before. I'd read it numerous times, but it never registered with me for some reason. And I'm going to share this with you today because I think it's important that you and I realize that we cannot outgive God. Now, I'm not going to be talking about money, believe it or not. That's a novelty, isn't it? In churches, they don't talk about money. God is a good God. If God has got your heart, He's got your money. That's the truth. I used to say in a church that we used to be in before to the leadership, if you want the people's money, let God get their hearts. Because when God has got your heart, He's got everything. You know? In the old Billy Graham crusades, they used to sing, some of the songs he used to sing was, "Here I am, ask for me, I'm wholly available," basically. Those were the things that they used to sing. "Take my life. Let it be." Let it be what? Let it be consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be consecrated to God. Yeah. And that our lives become something for God to be able to input into us. And out of us comes something that is dynamic. Something that is powerful. Out of you and I will come signs, wonders and miracles. Healings in that precious name of Jesus. We're coming up towards Christmas time, the birth. That's what the world says and celebrates. That's okay. It's not His birthday, but it'll do. But we rejoice in the fact that He came. We rejoice in the fact that He came to give us life. And so, I want us to turn to the first book of Samuel, and chapter 1. And I want to dash through the at least two chapters. Can you just bring me down a fraction on volume? Time height to your right, left. Thank you. That's better. I can hear myself and so can everybody else. It's just for the recording. Have we got Samuel? Good. Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 1. And this is a story of a couple called Hannah and Elkanah, her husband. Her husband loved his wife, Anna, so dearly, but she had no children to him. And this was something of a blight to her. She felt inadequate. She felt worthless. And yet, he loved her so much. In the story is a priest called Eli. And they go to this town of Shiloh. And Eli has two sons. And they're working in the priesthood. But these two guys are not straight up and down. They're on the take. And yet they're working and saying that we're priests. One of the things I want to bring out from this is that it's not about what you say. It's about what you do. Words are cheap. Words are easy. It's easy to say. And Martin and Daniel and those of you that work with us in Teen Challenge will know many times how people have said, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll meet you at such and such a time. And hey, never happens. Words are easy to speak. Actions speak louder than words. I'm thrilled today. I'm excited today. Because Joanne's got back here. Yeah. Come on, give her a clap. It's Rebecca and Eddie. Yeah? They come to Teen Challenge and they've got here today, so come on, let's give them a clap as well. Come on. Rebecca, you'll only be embarrassed once. After that, it's okay, okay? Might as well do it now, get it over with, yeah? It is great to see Rebecca and Sean, was it? You're her brother, is that right? Yeah. So Joanne said to her brother, will you come along with me, you know? So they both said, yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the encouragement that you are to her. We believe there's a success waiting to happen. Yeah. Amen? But it's all in Christ. And today I hope this encourages you, right? You as well. You know, I'm talking to all of us so that we want to be encouraged that God is faithful. Yeah. God is faithful to His promises, and God will do far more than we ask or think. Whoa, isn't that great? You know, I've got a big imagination, me. You know, I have big dreams. You know, this building here, 22 years been waiting for it to appear, and here we are. God gave me a promise 22 years ago, Grace and I, and we stood on that promise. We believed God all that time. Oh, there were days when we thought about maybe we can retire. No. God sent us to the shop and we got retired. We got new tread on and new, you know, Michelins, whatever they are we use. And it's like, get started. You know, you got some more rubber, keep burning it. So, you know, we're just done with it. Glory to God. Come on. And so I'm excited of what the future holds for us. I don't know exactly how the future is going to work out, but I do know who holds the future. And it's Jesus, my God, my Saviour. Anyway, so I better get back to the message, haven't I, somehow along here. No, we won't be here all day. We might be here while tomorrow, but not all day. Hallelujah. And it happened that Hannah, as I said, had no child. And she was so desperate for a child that they used to go to the temple once a year to this town to bring their sacrifices. And as it happened, she was there at the temple. And she went to pray. Verse 7 it says, and it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Her sister, well, it wasn't her sister, was it? It was her husband's other wife, would provoke her and say, I've got children, you haven't. God's blessed me, not you. You see? It can be a bit nasty. And she used to weep before the Lord in the temple of the Lord. And Eli, in verse 9, sees Hannah, and he sees her on her knees, and he sees her mouth going, but he hears no sound. And he thinks to himself, oh, she's just one of the local prostitutes that's around this area that's just come in. And he begins to rebuke her. So easy, you know, sometimes to say something when you don't know the full story. Find out. There's always two sides to a story. You know, it's like a football. There's two sides to a football, inside and outside. You know, you got to know the truth. You got to know all about it. And there she is, she's praying, she's pouring her heart out to God that she wants a son. And Eli goes to her and basically is quite abrupt with her at first and begins to challenge her, because he thinks, as I said, that she's one of the street workers. And she tells him she's not, and she pours the story out, how that she's married and she's never had a child, she's never ever been pregnant, she longs for a child. And she says that if I had a child, I would give him to God. Wow. What a thing to say. She would give him to God, to the service of God. Eli prays with her and tells her to go on her way, and says that because, you see, what she's done is, before Eli, she's made a vow. She's made a promise. And she said to God, listen to this, she made a vow. She made a promise. She said, if I get a son, he will serve God for all of his life. I will give him back to serve the Lord. That's a big thing. You know, she's desperate for a son, and yet she's willing to actually give him up as well. Yeah, you know, you and I would think, hang on, that seems a bit stupid, doesn't it, really? But there's a spin in this that God brings about. And those of you that know your Bible know what's going to happen, sort of thing, I think, anyway. But those of you that don't, there's a spin in this story. And I tell you what, it's like I said, I was listening to the CD in the car the other day, and it's like, I've missed the spin. I'm like, why have I never, ever seen it before? Tell you, so where have I been for the last 50 years? You know? And so she goes away having made this promise that she would dedicate a child to God. And so Eli turns to her and he said, on the very confession, on the very promise that you've made, you will have a son. Well, she jumps up and she says, yes. And she goes away, it says in the Word of God, she goes away happy. She's excited. You know, I'm going to get pregnant, she says. I'm going to have a child. Not me. Just don't get that wrong. Okay, you know. Don't let it go out there. Always, you know. Just get it right. She says, Anna says, all right, Rebecca, that Anna's going to get pregnant. Okay, she believes God. All right. Hallelujah. And off she goes. And sure enough, the word of the priest, the promise of God, comes to pass. And she bears a son. And she calls his name Samuel. That's why this book is written. It's all about his life story and his interactions with the kings throughout Israel. And so he's born. And her promise was that she would bring him to the temple when he had grown up, when she'd weaned him. You know, do you remember when Jesus first went to the temple? The first record of when Jesus went to the temple. How old was he? Well, that he didn't go, he was taken. The next time, 12, he was 12 years old when he went to the temple, and he went and found the men and he began to teach them about the truths of the Word of God. It doesn't tell you in the Bible, in the Old Testament, how old Samuel was when he went to the temple. He could have been between the age of 5 and 12. You know, as I think about Scripture, I think Samuel arrived at the temple when he was 12 years old. Do you know why? Because the Old Testament is really God beginning to tell what is going to happen in the future. He's beginning to draw it out. He's beginning to lay... You see, God lays a pattern out. That Jesus would arrive at 12 years old and begin to teach the elders. You know, Samuel arrived at the temple and began to serve Eli. He looked after Eli. Eli was getting old. His sons were rebellious. His sons were takers and not givers. When the people came to bring their sacrifice offerings, they would steal part of the offering. They were allowed to take meat that had been boiled, but they began to take the meat before it had been even sacrificed. And God became angry with these two men. They were laying with women. And God began to bring judgment against them. And yet Eli did not correct his sons. You know, I look at Daniel and Martin and others, and the girls, I look at them as sons and daughters, and I will correct them. Why? They're not your responsibility. They are spiritually my responsibility, and I love them, and I want to see the best for them. Like I say to my church leadership, you correct me if I'm wrong. It's about caring for one another, taking responsibility for one another, encouraging one another in the work and the things of God. And so these two brothers were stealing, were robbing God, actually. They weren't robbing the people, because God saw the heart of the people. These men were robbing God, and God began to decide that he's going to bring judgment against them. As we move on into Samuel and chapter 2 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, God will keep the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord shall and will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings. Thank God that we're priests and kings. Hallelujah. He will give strength to us as we stand in righteousness and in the righteousness of Christ. He says, and I will exalt the horn of his anointed. When that means exalt, he means he will strengthen, he will encourage us in the things of the kingdom and in the things of God. And so God is moving against evil. God is moving against the wickedness that was in the church then. And God intends to see his church pure and cleansed and holy. You see, although these two sons had a title and they were called priests, the title means nothing. Again, it is about what you do, not about what your badge says. What do you do? Do you serve God? Are you in love with God? Are you so compassionate and so in love with the Lord Jesus, that the compassion of Jesus flows through your life to the lives of others. And the guys go out, when we go out on Teen Challenge over the years, we've seen so much tragedy. And you know, your heart goes out. And sometimes we've gone home, Grace and I, in the past, we've gone home heartbroken of what we've seen. Because we know this much. Whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. There ain't another way. Rebecca, I have an addiction. I must confess this. I have an addiction. I'm addicted to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, it's not a killer. It gives me life. I'm addicted to Jesus. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's a life giver. Isn't he? Is that right, Ed? He's a life giver. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm not going to lose out. I'm on a winning streak. Amen. I'm on a winning streak. So Samuel is dedicated to the Lord, he's given over for service, he's working in the temple, he's looking after Eli, who's now in his late 80s. Eli's beginning to go blind. And you know, every year, his mother, Anna, comes and brings him a brand new set of clothes. Faithfully, every year she comes and makes sure that he's looked after, that he's cared for, and that knows he's loved. Even though his mother has given him to God, she knows he knows that she's done it for a real purpose, a real reason, and she's not selfish. But the thing that got to me was, as I was listening to the Word of God, and it's in, well, let's read from verse 19 of chapter 2. And he says this, and his mother would make him a robe and bring it to him every year, from year to year, when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord. And as they went to their home, and the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. No, I don't think they were all at the same time, by the way. Okay. You know, they weren't quads. That would have been a nightmare for her, bless her, you know. But it suddenly hit me that she'd asked for a son. She promised to give this son back to God. And in doing so, she had 5 more children. God is no man's debtor. You can never outgive God. She gave a son. She got 5 other children instead. Wow. Now, she was blessed. She was excited. She was overjoyed with all of that. And suddenly I thought, I've never seen that before. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I mean, it suddenly hit me. It was like a flash of lightning. Whoa! That she gave her child, her firstborn, to God, and God said, I'm going to give you back. Pressed down, shaken together, oh boy, and it did shake with 5 kids around, and running over, and they were running all over the place, you know? And suddenly she's blessed with 5 more children. I don't care what you do, you'll never outgive God. Giving of your time, giving of your efforts, giving of your finance, whatever you give, God will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Well, I believe it if nobody else does. I stand as living proof that God has kept Grace and I for over 30 years. I gave up a good job in industry. God has never, ever let us down. We paid the mortgage off. It's all gone. I don't look too shabby, do I? Yeah. God is a good God. Do you know, He paid bills that I don't know where the money came from. He has a calculator that when you use yours says minus. His says multiplied. Pressed down, shaken together, and the spare. It's running over. I did maths at university. God has a different calculator. God has a different way of working things out. All He asks is that you and I trust Him. All He asks is that you start to walk the walk. Just start walking the walk. Just get on that road. Keep walking that walk. Sometimes you might get knocked over. Get up. The only time you're beaten in a fight is when you stay down. Get up. Keep walking. Keep moving. And in your walking, don't be walking away from God. Walk towards God. Walk towards the light. Walk towards the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. Whatever's holding you back, whatever's got a stranglehold on you, whatever's trying to destroy you, and you know, Martin quoted that scripture, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. When you work in Teen Challenge, you see the destruction of drugs. You see the destruction of alcohol. You see the destruction that goes on in these people's lives. And it makes you want to weep. You know, this guy, he was half the size when I first met him. He was a miserable so-and-so, really, to be honest. Isn't that true, Mum? He was miserable when we first met him, wasn't he? Huh? He was awful. You remember him, sister? Look at him now. Jesus came in. And he's a miracle to the working power of God in his life. And I thank God that I was able to be there and be a signpost and say, this way, Daniel. This way. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. This is the truth. Walk in it. What did I give? I gave some of my time. Oh, glory. I've got an abundance of time coming back from here, brother. Hallelujah. You know, the time that Grace and I have put into young men and women's lives over the years. I've got a long time to live yet. Hallelujah. I'm going nowhere. You know? I have a vision and a dream that God has given to me that I have yet to see fulfilled. And so God is at work. And you're part of it. You're part of this fulfilling of the dream. You guys, you young people, you're part of what God has said He's going to do. The church is not going to shrink. The church is going to grow. The church is going to be seen for signs, wonders, and miracles. I came to Jesus through signs, wonders, and miracles, and I'm going to live my life through signs, wonders, and miracles. I made a promise to Him. I said, Lord, I will always believe You for healings. I will always believe You for miracles. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. I've seen the dead raised. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get excited. I'll get excited for you. It's fine. Get on. Glory to Jesus. I'm looking for some more dead bodies. Let's make some headlines in the newspaper. Good ones, I mean, because all you hear is rubbish. I've seen some good headlines in the newspaper. If you go on the church website, you'll find testimonies of people who doctors said they would never, ever work again. Came to church, God healed them. They're working, they're earning money. They're not taking from the system, they're putting into the system, and they're going on with God. That is the power of a miracle working Jesus who we serve and worship. Samuel's the forerunner, one of the forerunners of the things that God would do. Hannah is a picture of Mary. She takes on the child, the Son of God, and nurtures him and cares for him. And yet she's given him back to God, and his name shall be called Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. We worship and we serve a mighty God. The more I listen to these programs on TV of how they're looking at scientific things on the world and how the earth was formed and how these creatures evolved, and I just think, wow. God is the creator. God is the one who is that supernaturally created these animals. I was out on Friday photographing some birds and I literally got nothing. And I was about to leave where I was and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was getting close to being dark. And all of a sudden I saw something in the distance coming towards me. And it was like, that's just what I'm looking for. But it's dark. It's a barn owl and it's flying towards me. I've got camera and lens and everything on tripod. I'm ready. I took these shots. Go on, find us on Facebook. I put it on the site, put it on my Facebook site, and then a friend of mine put something about barn owls that I'd forgotten about. Do you know that the face of a barn owl is actually designed so that it helps it to hear sound? It's got its ears. One ear is slightly in a different position to the other, so it can actually coordinate and find through that, it can find the exact pinpoint where the animal it's looking for. It flies totally silent. It doesn't make a noise. It beats its wings and there is no sound. Scientists are now trying to build aircrafts with similar design wings, because the amount of lift that is given by the wings of the barn owl is just unprecedented. But they say it's going to take them 20 years to even copy it. And it just evolved. It just evolved. Don't give me that. The designer designed them with a purpose. The designer designed you. God designed you for a purpose. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. All you've got to do, this is all you've got to do. You've got to take hold of His hand and say, yes, Lord.
Lord.
And you've got to walk with Him.
Walk towards Him.
And every time there's a difficulty, keep hold of His hand.
And walk with Him, yeah.
Let Him talk to you.
Yeah.
Listen to Him. And remember this, He loves you more than anybody else can ever love you. And you are special to Him. Never forget that. And you know, He'll walk you down every pathway. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I'm with you always. Amen. That's my Jesus. That's my God. And yet he's still able to run the universe and keep everything in order, because he's all set up. Because he's an organizer. He's a planner. And he says, I've got a destiny for you as well, Sean. I've got a destiny for you. I've got a purpose for you. But you're going to have to submit to that plan. You're going to have to submit to that purpose. But I'll tell you what, it's the best thing. It's the best decision that I ever made. When at 16 years old I gave my life to Jesus. My dad used to brew alcohol on the end of the bath. White. Pure, you could, you know, I mean, it was, you know, we used to mix cherry juice with it just to give it some flavour. Isn't that right, sister? You know, I mean, who? 16 year old, I remember I got drunk twice with that stuff. When Jesus found me, thank God for that. And Jesus found my dad too. So no longer were we brewing on the end of the bath. You go and sit in the bath and there's with this still, you know, it's like, my life could have been a different story if Jesus had not intervened. So, you know, folks say it's alright for you. You've never known what it is to be tough and difficult. Really, hang around, I'll tell you some stories. But remember this, the real story is Jesus found me.
Amen.
Jesus saved me. I surrendered to him. I gave him everything. And I'll tell you what, I've never regretted it. Oh, there's been some tough days. There's been some challenges. There's been some difficult times. But that just gets you toughened up. That just makes you a warrior for Jesus. You know, you deal with the fanatic in the attic and let the fella in the cellar begin to rule and reign. Let the Word of God begin to change you, mould you and shape you. Well, I know when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, suddenly I changed again. I was quiet, shy, reserved. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I began to change. I suddenly became bold. Why? Because the very presence of the living God was beginning to empower and beginning to work in our lives. You know, the story of Samuel is that whilst he was there looking after Eli, suddenly one night he went to sleep and he heard a voice calling his name. Samuel! Samuel! Samuel woke up and thought, oh, what does Eli want? So off he ran to Eli and said, what's the matter? What do you need? Eli said, I didn't speak. He goes back to bed again. Go back to bed. And again the voice, Samuel, Samuel! Three times. Samuel, Samuel. And Eli said to him, the next time he calls you, it's God. Answer him. God spoke to him and told him what was going to happen to Eli, to the sons of Eli, because of their wickedness and what would happen to Israel. God was suddenly appointing Samuel as the prophet to the nation. A woman, Hannah, had cried out to God for a son. She'd given him to God. Given him back to God. And suddenly, as he grows, God appoints him to be the prophet to the nation. You and I do not realize what God is calling us to. We don't realize the purpose and the plans that God has for us. But he has some great plans. He has a great future. As long as you and I will say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm going to go all the way. Sometimes it might be, Lord, I'm scared. I'm scared. I can remember going doing Sunday school and they used to get us reciting poems. Do you ever remember that? You know, I used to be terrified. I had butterflies as big as elephants, you know. And then you stand there, as a, you know. After 11-year-old, I'd had enough. You know, I was that terrified. I gave up on it all. One of my school teachers said to my sister, when she heard I'd become a Christian and I was going to a Pentecostal church, never. Couldn't believe it. I think if she was still alive today and she knew that I was, that I'd stood in front of over 1,000 people and preached the gospel, she'd have said never. Not Andrew. I was timid. I was shy. But I'm not the person of what I used to be. You can be different. You don't need to be who you are now. You can be different. Amen. When you take hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, come in to my heart. Come in to my life. And I surrender everything I've got to you. Take it. Mold it. Shape it. Make me something. Make something out of me. Reminds me of the picture of the clay on the potter's wheel. Ever tried that at school? There it went. Pottery making, you know. Oh, I had a go at it. Didn't make much success of it. You know, God wants to put us on that potter's wheel. You know, to get a good clay pot has to set the wheel spinning. Uh-oh. That's being a little bit out of control when things start spinning. And then all of a sudden a pair of hands come on that clay and apply pressure. Ooh, you know, yeah, not there! And it's like suddenly those hands find a bit of grit in the clay, stops the wheel and starts to dig. This needs to come out because this will bring destruction. It will cause you to fracture and break when the heat comes on in that furnace. So it digs it out. I'm saying, Lord, please, not that, Lord. Find something else. And then he starts to spin the wheel again and begins to apply the pressure and shapes a beautiful vase, an ornament, and fires it in the furnace to make it fit for purpose and for service to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And I just want to encourage you today that if you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart and life, it's time to make a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. It's not just taking, just say, with words saying, come into my life, Lord Jesus, but it's actually saying, I want a lifestyle change. I want to change my destiny. I want to change my future. And the only way you can change your future is when you take hold of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you know you have a sure and certain hope. And you will have a purpose and a great destiny that is given to you. But you have to make that step. You have to follow it through. I don't promise it's easy, but I promise this, it will be the best decision that any person can ever make by surrendering everything to Him and allowing Him to direct your life for the rest of your days, and you'll never regret it, will you? No. Let's just bow our heads for a moment.